Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We are going to move along in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which is the introductory chapter of two chapters, namely 8 and 9, on the subject of giving, New Testament giving. And Paul, as you recall, is talking to the church at Corinth about the special project offering which he had organized and was promoting, is probably a better term, among the Gentile churches. And he writes in the beginning of chapter 8 to tell the Corinthians how other churches have responded. Their giving, namely in this case the churches of Macedonia, was a wonderful example of the kind of giving that pleases God. And so Paul uses the churches of Macedonia as a motive, you might say. He's creating a little bit of competition here, you might even say, honestly, if you looked at it that way. Something that some people would find very questionable in the area of giving, and yet here we find it in the case of the Apostle Paul and the way he's dealing with churches that he founded. And so we better think a little more carefully about how these things ought to be done. We have certain ideas about what should and should not be done, but not always are those ideas based squarely upon the Word of God. And so thank you for joining me on this Thursday, May 11, and many thanks for the financial gifts that keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Exemplary giving. Exemplary giving begins with exemplary churches. In verse 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." You recall that would be Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. They were the exemplary churches. And he talks in verses 2 and 3 about their exemplary performance, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. These churches in Macedonia were not giving so generously because they had a big surplus. They weren't giving generously because they'd had few difficulties, just the opposite, great difficulties. Whatever they were, no doubt they included, those difficulties included persecution, but there could have been other things as well. But in spite of that, they gave generously and they gave with great joy out of their deep poverty, a term that literally is down to the depth. Down to the depth, or giving from the very depth of their hard circumstances, they nevertheless gave generously and joyfully. These things produced rich liberality. That's what's so amazing. Back to verse 2, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. So on the one hand, great afflictions. On the other hand, great joy. Joy in the midst of afflictions. We must not pass over that without noting it, even though that doesn't hit the hit the main point of the giving here, but that's part of it. Their great joy in the midst of affliction and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. These things all combine together to produce rich liberality, generous giving. They gave a great deal. In fact, he says in verse 3, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing." They gave according to their ability. That's a proportionate response. But if that was all, then their giving would have been relatively small because their circumstances were difficult. But they didn't give just according to their ability. They gave beyond their ability, a disproportionate response. They gave a large offering in spite of circumstances pointing to a reduced offering. Now, let me pause here to make an application. And that is simply to say that I have observed by experience that Christians who give generously in spite of their circumstances are always rewarded by God for doing so. That's what I have observed over many, many, many years of pastoral ministry. When people are in the habit of giving generously because God has blessed them and they're able to do that, and then their circumstances change and they aren't able to give as generously as they did before, what do they do? Well, the expected thing to do would be to say, I've got to cut down my giving to match the reduction in my ability to give. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yes, but giving to God is not strictly a matter of logic. It's not strictly a matter of resources. There's always this divine element of what God is able to do, what God is able to bestow, what God is able to enable for those who have a determination, a desire to give, and a determination to give regardless. And so I say it again. I've seen people who've had their circumstances changed. I've seen people, for example, who gave it a pretty good clip, and I never know. I want to insert this. I never know exactly what people give. I never make it my business to try to find out. But sometimes in conversations with people, they will indicate something to me about their giving. Sometimes very specifically. I can remember one man who's now with the Lord, and he told me exactly the percentage of his giving, and it was close to 20%. I don't remember the exact number now, but I'm thinking maybe 17%. Why did he tell me that? I don't know. I certainly didn't ask him, but he disclosed that to me. And other times, people will tell me things. So I don't know what people give because I check the giving records. I don't know what people give because I ask the treasurer to let me know or the financial secretary to let me know. Absolutely not. But sometimes I do know through things that people themselves tell me. And I'm thinking of an example of one brother, also now with the Lord, who gave generously, but he said, I won't be able to give as generously because I'm going to retire this year. And I said, well, that's fine. That's understandable. And I'm so glad that you've been able to give so generously before. But you know what? When he retired and his income was reduced, he determined before the Lord he was going to continue to give what he had been giving before, and to just be more careful with his spending in other areas. And you know what? He never reduced his giving, according to what he told me later, and he did not suffer in any way because of it. God blessed him. And that's a modern-day example, and I could give you some others, but I'll stop there. But that's a modern-day example of exactly what Paul is describing here among the churches of Macedonia. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. They gave proportionately when they were not under pressure, financial pressure. That's the biblical standard. Let each one give according as God has prospered. God does not expect us to give more than what He has supplied. God doesn't expect us to give large amounts if our supply is a small supply. We have other obligations. We can't give everything that we have into the Lord's work. God gives us resources, income, to feed ourselves and our family, to clothe ourselves and our family, to shelter ourselves and our family, housing, all of these expenses. That's just mentioning several, but of course we have many, many others. And God provides the resources that are needed for these things, and He tells us that these are God-given obligations. If a man doesn't take care of his household, Paul told Timothy, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we are given responsibilities to support our families, to support our living expenses, to pay our bills, to not be people who fail to pay their bills, who have a bad testimony, who don't have a good financial record in the community. God gives us the resources to take care of these things, to pay our taxes. That's a legitimate obligation that we have, and God supplies what is needed for that. So God gives us resources to take care of these things, but He does expect us to be sure to give to Him out of the resources that He's given to us. That's a matter of worship. It's a matter of demonstrating gratitude. It's a matter of demonstrating stewardship, that these things are not given, they don't belong to us, they belong to Him. He gives them to us for us to manage and to allocate them according to the instructions that He gives us in His Word. But nevertheless, it all really does belong to Him, but that doesn't mean we give it all to the Lord's work. We don't give it all to the church. It all belongs to Him, and He gives it to us to pay our bills and to feed our family and so forth. So if God's giving enables us to give, when we give proportionate to what He's supplied, to give at a certain level, and then the level is reduced, what do we do? Well, no one could be faulted for saying, my income has been cut in half, my giving will also be cut in half. In some cases, that would seem to be difficult. My income has been cut in half. I'm going to have to cut my giving more than that because it just won't stretch that far. But before you come to that conclusion, think about the Macedonian churches and how that they gave not only according to their ability, proportionate giving, but beyond their ability, disproportionate giving in a larger direction. How is that possible? How do people give beyond their ability? Only by God's grace supplementing their ability. That's how. And if that's what you want to do, if you want to give in that way, then don't you think God is able to supplement what you think you have coming and enable you to do more than you think you will be able to do? That's the question. And I'm not saying you're obligated to do that. I'm just challenging you to consider doing that and seeing what rich rewards you will reap in return. Well, I've got to go. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.